Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. It's a blessing to be in the house of our Lord as we near the end of the season of Epiphany, next Sunday being the Transfiguration of our Lord, and Ash Wednesday, the following Wednesday after that. So we give thanks to God for this celebration of the time of Christmas as it comes to an end in preparation for the celebration of our Lord's Passion. If you are a guest or visiting with us here this morning, we're especially glad you are here, along with all of our members alike. And just a reminder to fill out the attendance card you'll find there in your pews. You can hand those to our ushers as they collect the offerings midway through the service. One special addition to the 8 o'clock service this morning, and that is the rite of adult confirmation for Miss Heather Poole, and that will take place following our sermon. She was brought in through catechesis in the fall term and was not able to be with us for New Member Sunday due to weather conditions surrounding us. We're glad she's here this morning and be able to be brought in to our membership here at St. John. Order of worship for this morning is Divine Service Setting 2, beginning on page 167 within our hymnal. We sing now our first hymn, hymn 868, Awake My Soul and With the Sun. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 58. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure, and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight, and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of men imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Seated now as the hymn of the day is sung.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So said Jesus in his words in the Sermon on the Mount, not long after he had finished speaking the words of introduction, the words of entry, the Beatitudes. In that context, in that time in his ministry, why was it necessary for Jesus to speak those words? Were those who were waiting for the coming of the Messiah expecting him to do away with the past, do away with the law and the prophets? Could that Christ come and bring a whole new system for the Jews? Now, many Jews believed that the Messiah would deliver them from the rule of the Romans and deliver them once again into the greatness of the kingdom of David. But that did not necessarily mean that the ways of the past were now obsolete, to be forgotten. If anything, the people wanted that glory of the past to be restored, made new. So Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount with beautiful statements of gospel, not of law. The blessedness of Jesus' reign here upon the earth was not to be earned by anyone, but granted as a gift. Such blessings were given to those who are poor in spirit, for those who mourn, those who are meek, those who are the peacemakers, the persecuted, and the like. The Beatitudes of Jesus, his opening statements of blessing, were statements of reality, statements of identity for those who were hearing the voice of God in Christ Jesus and believed in him. That is always the path. Always the way of forgiveness, of life and salvation, faith and trust in Jesus through his word. And now Jesus had called men out of their different vocations to follow after him. And now he had a large crowd of people following him at every turn and listening to his every word. And while Jesus is truly the Messiah, the Christ who was and is to come and has the power to do amazing things, even to change everything, God's expectations for his creation remain the same. Jesus did not come to abolish the old ways. The old ways are only old because they were present in the past, as well as present now. And they were established then by God in the past because God is good. And all that he creates is good. And so for Jesus to come on the scene and abolish the law and the prophets would mean that Jesus is claiming he is superior to them and they inferior to him. Jesus, who is the Word of God, made into flesh, is the author of the law and the prophets. Jesus could no sooner abolish them than he could abolish himself. Instead, they were all given to point ahead to Jesus, the pinnacle, for him to come and to complete it all. Not that they were incomplete in and of themselves, but as a foretaste, a sample of what was still to come in Jesus himself. And so Jesus came and he lived out the law of God perfectly because the law of God is good. God's instruction granted to his people of old was never meant as an insurmountable goal or obstacle with the idea of turning his people away in a despair and in shame. Yes, of course, in sin, mankind cannot possibly fulfill the law of God. And the law then does crush the sinner, always accusing the sinner for the sins that he and she has done, leaving us in despair before God, and rightfully so. But that is only because of our sin, because of our wickedness. When sin is finally removed from us in its totality, then we will experience the reality of life lived in the law of God. Jesus told his disciples and all those who would believe in him, you and me included today, that we are the salt and the light of the world. The salt is meant to enhance and improve taste. It is good and it is intended to bring change. Light is meant to help others see. A city set on a hill is there as a beacon and a signal for many, something to aspire to. No one turns on a light in the dark only to cover it up with a box. The light is there to benefit all. Christians, too, are salt and light for the earth. Be the change the world needs. And no, this world will never be a perfect place in its sin and darkness. But Christians are still called on by Christ, not just to do their vocations, but excel at them. Do so joyfully and with sincerity. For Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You have been called out of the darkness of sin and into the light of Christ and his righteousness. You are blessed. You are saved for all of eternity. You are free from the burden of the law of Christ Jesus, for the law of God that Christ Jesus has borne all for you. His death upon the cross was your death upon the cross, and his new life is now your new life. And as he lives, so shall you live. And here and now, in this time, you are to live as Christ, as his lights to the world. When people see you, they see Christ Jesus. Our sinful thoughts, sinful words, and sinful actions bring dishonor to that name of Christ that is upon us. No, this does not disqualify us from salvation and everlasting life, but you have been set free. Free to be that righteousness of Christ here in this world, to show love, to show mercy, compassion, kindness, patience to your husbands and wives, to your parents and your children, to your neighbors and your co-workers. You are to do so better than the world itself can possibly do. All of this is what flows freely out of the salvation you already have in Christ Jesus. That moment you first believed, when that gift of faith was granted to you, you were justified completely from all your sin. You have been grafted into Christ, who is the true vine, and you now produce the good fruits of that vine that go forth into the world, and you bring help and support to those who are in need. This is God's way of then drawing others back unto Christ through you, through your service to others, as those who are called, redeemed, and sanctified, the people of God. Now, this is not meant to be a burden placed upon your shoulder, for the burden of Christ is easy. His yoke is light, but it is a joy as you live out your days in full faith, hope, and confidence of the salvation that belongs to you already in Christ Jesus our Lord, poured out upon you freely in the waters of baptism. So you can speak the word of God, both law and gospel, out into the world, and so salt and light the world around you. And this is not to be a mere keeping of the law of God for the sake of keeping the law of God or out of fear of God. For then we would be like those speaking in our Old Testament text from Isaiah 58. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have no knowledge of it? God does not want superficial acts in keeping with the law. God wants the heart. God wants the true change. And so we take God's word to heart, the word that he speaks to us each and every day. Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight, to hit with a wicked fist. God knows the substance of our works, if they are true or not. And there is no fooling God. And we do well then to follow his guidance. Is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. God's word, both law and gospel, remain as his gift to us. We are called to keep those commands of God, to follow his great instruction, and to teach others his ways. Such great care and concern should indeed be given to all those who are around us, being quick to show mercy and forgiveness and grace, as those gifts have been so quickly and freely given to us. That is what our lives will be for all of eternity in God's great kingdom, free from sin and guilt and shame and fear. We'll be free to love, to care, and to serve with no reservation, with no hindrance, with no interruption. And by God's grace in Christ Jesus, we live samples of that life here and now, caring for one another through our various vocations and speaking out the saving power of the gospel to sinners and to a world that is wicked with sin and guilt and shame. For God's word, law and gospel, now and forever, is revealed to us in Christ Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, God's great gift to us. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh, now and unto life everlasting. Amen.
We stand to confess the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
We stand to sing the post-communion canticle. The fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
May be seated. Again, special welcome to Ms. Heather Poole for joining us here at St. John through the rite of confirmation. It's a blessing to have you here with us. And as fiancée to Derek Sompong, a member of our congregation as well, we rejoice and give thanks to our God. A couple other announcements for this morning. Our next Eat Night for the school is tomorrow, and that is at Hickory River in South Champaign. Flyers for that are available on the table as you exit the sanctuary here this morning, so please do take those with you. Adult instruction class has begun, and the next session is this afternoon at 1 o'clock in our fellowship hall, so if you'd like to join us for that, you're welcome to do so. And we do have a trivia night coming up for our school on February 28th, I believe, so if you're interested in that, want to sign up, get a team ready, please contact the school office. If you'd like to help in any other way, I'm sure they would take that as well. So we look forward to these opportunities and the season of Lent coming up as we continue our meditation upon our Savior and all of his good gifts to us. We go forth in his name to our education hour and to our fellowship.